The fourth pick in the NBA draft goes to the Houston Rockets.
Woosah. Okay, so this is probably going to be one of the hardest recordings I'm going to have to do because, yeah, we just got the fourth pick in the 2023 NBA draft. Not ideal. This is not what we signed up for. This is not what we went through all this pain and losing for to get this pick. But it is life. This is how life works. So I'm going to talk about some of the takeaways. I've had a couple moments to reflect, talk to some people, and just to see what my thoughts are on where we are as a franchise and what the Rockets have in front of them. So tap in, enjoy. If you like the Chop Shop and you support what we've been doing here on the channel, giving you quality basketball and premium content, support us by hitting us up on Cash App. That's $ChopShopHTX. All the money we get goes towards our software and our subscriptions we use to make these great videos that you all enjoy. So support the channel, support Premium Hoops, support great basketball discourse by hitting us up on Cash App at $ChopShopHTX. Okay, so the Rockets did not get the picks that we wanted. We wanted Wemby or Scoot. It was Wemby or Scoot. That's what everybody wanted. There were some sickos out there that wanted the third and the fourth pick with Amen Thompson and possibly Brandon Miller. We're not really considering them as the consensus, but the consensus was Wemby or Scoot. We did not get that. So what now, right? What now? First, I have to step back and look at how did we get to this point? Obviously, we ended up winning the coin flip against the Spurs. There have been some people saying that, we should have lost it. We would have drafted. We would have got their pick. That's not how life works, right? That's not how life works. We don't live in a simulation. So just because on that specific day we won the coin flip, then everything else in the world goes as planned. You got to think of the butterfly effect, the ripple effects of different actions in time, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we don't know. Let's not live in that alternate universe that people are trying to paint. We do live in this universe where we have the fourth pick. And most likely, with San Antonio somehow getting Wembanyama, you have Charlotte, who's a wild card. I still think they're going to draft Scoot Henderson. To me, it's a no-brainer for them. And with the second pick, and then Portland moving up to the third spot, who's likely, to me, should draft Brandon Miller. It makes sense. He's actually a positional need that they have. He brings a skill set that they need, which is length and shooting. And, that's instead of Matisse Thybulle, I'd rather have Brandon Miller shooting those shots for them. But as far as us at the fourth pick, I mean, obviously, you've heard several shows we've done. The Amen Thompsons of the world, the Yasar Thompsons of the world, the Jairus Walkers of the world. Some people even have Cam Whitmore as high as four. There's a lot of players. I've heard some weirdos put Grady Dick as high as four. It's just there's a lot of players there that you want to look at. And also there's also the door that Stone has opened up in his press conference is saying that he could trade the pick. Right. That could be a trade. And trade doesn't necessarily mean he's going to trade it for a player. Could be like an established player. Could be trade back. Maybe they trade back with another team that wants somebody at four. Maybe you get some future picks out of them, or you get multiple picks within this draft for a team that wants to move up to four. I'm not sure if the there's enough, like the gap between like maybe four and five, six, seven is big enough for the team is going to trade up. But you never know. You never know with these things what happens over the coming weeks and the time that's going to lead up to the draft. I mean, it's going to be teams are going to break up. You're going to have the playoffs. The playoff teams are going to start making moves. Guys are going to start being rumored to be let go, to be traded, to be moved. So all of that is going to shape out. Before we get to draft night, there could be a totally different circumstances as far as the order of the draft, who's drafting where, who's trading where. So, the first visceral reactions from me, if you guys watch the live stream, me in space and the gang just did, is pretty, it's down bad. I'm not going to lie. But that doesn't mean that there's not a way that all of this could be rectified. Now, what this does mean, for Rafael Stone, it means bruh got it. He got his work cut out, right? And this is one of the things that I really was like talking about throughout the year in the way we approached our timeline in this rebuild, is that Rafael Stone's approach to have this rigid kind of tanking where you tank so much that you would stunt development of certain players and building some key precepts and principles in basketball for your players. You're gonna skip having that veteran structure for these guys to have that kind of professionalism support on and off the court. You're gonna have players that are not equipped to play at this level, basically playing hella minutes on the court. You're gonna have the worst lineups. You're gonna be prioritizing players that need to be traded or moved or bad for the team over the development of your young players. You're not going to give players like Jabari Smith and Jalen Green support as they come into the league and have them figuring it out on their own. And what that does for you is when you actually want to win games and you want these guys to help support winning, a lot of the stuff that they need to learn to win games, they're not equipped to do. They're not ready for. So Rafael Stone has made a bed that he's going to have to lay in. And this bet is that he has to like be on point in every aspect of this offseason. And the first domino to fall for him is this draft. And I don't think this is the ideal selection that they wanted. You know, I mean, not saying it's the end all be all, but now you're kind of, you know, you're up against the wall here because now you have to hope that free agency and the trade market goes well, or he's going to find himself basically making moves on the margins with the same players that you've just kind of not prioritized the development in an attempt to be able to tank to get a Victor Wembanyama, and you didn't get him. You didn't get him. So now you got to rely on these kids to help you win. Or the alternative, which I would hate if he did, was to try to trade away some of our players to bring in older players, which would be a waste of time for the fans and for the Rockets to do that, because you basically just wasted your time. You know what I mean? So we got to keep an eye on Rafael Stone. I feel like this is going to be a lot of pressure on him to be able to make the right moves. It would have been easier for him to just have a Scoot Henderson, to have Victor Wembanyama there where you could just, yeah, we're drafting that. Now the opportunity to trade up, trade back, to trade out is all there. And he has to make the right decision that's going to impact the franchise going forward for the next half decade or so. So he made himself, he put himself in this position. He put himself in this position. And I don't think they had to do it. Y'all, I've been consistent on this. We just saw a team get a higher pick than us, Portland, who attempted to win for the first half of the season till they shut Dame down and still got them where they, you know, got them a top three pick, a better pick than us. The way this new lottery system works, it's really just, it really does de-incentivize just hard tanking because it doesn't guarantee anything. We see what happens with Detroit, who fell out of the top four, and they were the worst team in the league. So these are the takeaways. You know what I mean? This is the takeaway from this, is that you always take care of today, right? And I think that's what Stone didn't do. You want to take care of today. You take care of today, meaning what I mean by that is that you just focus on what you have at hand. All this stuff relying on a 28%, 27% chance for you to hit pay dirt is not a way that a business, a billion-dollar entertainment business as the Houston Rockets should operate. The pray for Victor, let me do it in the right voice. The pray for Victor, that is not a way that a team should approach a rebuild. And I hope that, you know, even though we joke about Tillman saying that, that they do have an alternative to not getting these players that they want. And it's not just going to be relying on like James Harden to come back to save the team. This is what the hope is. But they have a lot in front of them to do. And now we're going to have to rely on these guys, right? You got Jalen Green. You got your Sengun. You got Jabari Smith. You got Tari Eason. You feel me? Those are your four core, the core four. Those are going to be the guys that honestly are going to have to carry the load of winning for us going forward over the next few years. And there's nothing wrong with that because historically, teams only need two good players. Two top three picks, you should be set. I had said on the live stream that getting a Wemby or Scoot is like icing on the cake, but damn, cake doesn't taste right without the icing on there. But still, you know, that was a joke. But at the end of the day, like, you have two top three picks. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You know what I mean? If I'm the players, if I'm Jalen Green, I'm Jabari Smith, this should just put a battery in my back. Like, this is your team, guys. It's going to be up to you guys to be able to carry the Rockets forward. And you know, there's not a Wembanyama coming to aid in that. And if I'm an athlete, I'm perfectly cool with that. So I don't think it stresses them out any. For the fan base, yeah, we're going to have to get it out the mud, man. There's no magic pills or magic players that are going to come save the Rockets. They're going to have to do things the right way. There's no skipping steps to building a contender. And if anybody thought that tanking your way into a talented player is the way to do it, then you were wrong, because it's always been the same, no matter who you draft. You know, I've said over and over about the amount of players, and there's one playing right now, Nikola Jokic, who aren't anybody's when they come out of the draft, but turn into somebody's because of their talent. Good teams, great teams that build dynasties hit everywhere in the draft. Can the Rockets do that? Can they develop those guys? That's what's going to determine a championship more than getting a Victor Wembanyama or a Scoot Henderson. The game has not changed. It's still the same. You draft well, develop well. You have a competent front office and great coaching. I think we've hit on the coaching. I think we've drafted well up to this point. We still have some draft picks to make. Can the front office put together a roster? And this is going to be the biggest test for the front office, because for the first time since Stone has taken this job, he is actually going to be graded on the roster he puts together. There's no excuse that we're tanking. Oh, this is Coach Silas. He has a real coach. He's going to have real players. Can he put together a complimentary roster that actually fits? He has not done it yet. I have no proof of him doing that, but he's going to have to show me that he can do it, because there's no passes. You're not going to get a Wemby. And with the Philly firing Doc Rivers, James Harden might stay. I'm hearing rumors about Mike D'Antoni going over to Philly to meet up with Maury and Tad Brown up there, bringing back that whole Houston core, that little trifecta of coach, player, front office alignment. That's very tempting. They might offer him the max. So, you know what I mean? That's still up in the air. I don't think the Harden thing, he's a very kind of up and down person. So one day it might be something, one day it's not. Are we leveraged? Is he, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of things that could still go right or wrong for the Rockets. Rafael Stone has to get on his P's and Q's. That's what I take away from tonight. That's what I take away from draft night. Yes, we don't get Wembanyama. We don't have Scoot Henderson. We don't know what we're going to do leading up to draft. There's still some, maybe two or three still in play. Maybe we draft the Amen Thompson. Maybe we draft the Sower or Jairus Walker or one of these guys. But nothing is guaranteed right now. But that's my biggest takeaway, is that Stone, the clock is starting, my brother. So y'all let me know what y'all think in the chat. I know most of y'all are bummed out, but you know what I mean? We're going to get through this, and we'll definitely, you know what I mean, keep talking about the Rockets and keep looking at ways that we can improve the team. I still think we have a lot of talent on the roster. The biggest acquisition the Rockets could have made is Ime Udoka, and he's here. We got our coach, and right on time, because there's a lot of jobs opening up and coaches getting fired. So we got our coach. To me, that's the biggest thing, because it transcends any individual player. That's a thing that impacts every single player. So to me, that's a bigger deal than who we draft. You got a great coach. Now what are they going to do with it? Stone, it's on you. Y'all tap in. Let me know in the chat. Let me know in the comments. What do y'all think about the Rockets landing four? Are you sad? Are you bummed? Are you happy? If you're weird like that, just let me know. Keep rocking with the Chop Shop, and we're going to keep dropping that fire.